Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today again is Father Bill Hahn. He is the Vocations Director of the Diocese of Columbus. Welcome again, Father.
Thank you. It's great to be back on.
This is his second coming among us here on Conversations on Discipleship. The first was many, many months ago. We did some initial recordings with him. That was even before you were named Vocation Director. Well, you were named Vocation Director, but you hadn't quite taken the job yet.
Still in Chillicothe at the time.
So I've brought Father on today, and he has courageously volunteered or accepted the invitation. Because there's a new book out we're going to talk about probably for the next three or so shows. Called From Christendom to Apostolic Mission, Pastoral Strategies for an Apostolic Age. From Christendom to Apostolic Mission. The publisher is the University of Mary, University of Mary Press. The author is Monsignor, Monsignor James Shea, who's the president of the university. So this book has gotten a lot of interest. It sparked a lot of interest among the church. I know I was in a meeting with Father John Ricardo a month or two ago, and Father John Ricardo's really embraced this book as kind of an articulation of his approach to the church. And I know of many priests and bishops now who have been passing it around and reading it, and it's become quite a kind of an important document. It's not a very long book, only about 90 pages or so, and I think definitely worth the read. So, as I said, we're going to kind of break it open and begin to look at some of the points that are being made. But before we go any further, let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just We just ask that you open our hearts to receive whatever gifts or insights you have for us this day. Strengthen and renew us with your gift of divine charity, that we might love those that we meet this day. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. In
the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So, Father, I think people have heard enough from me for right now, but I wonder your kind of opening initial thoughts about this book, again, From Christendom to Apostolic Mission.
Yeah, so I think what I found in this book was it articulates very well what I think a lot of us have been sensing over the last decade or so, like a shift in the way that the world and the church interact. And maybe it's also giving more flesh to what Pope Francis has talked about the church being a church on mission, and also Pope Benedict before him talking about the church being a smaller church in the future, what he called creative minorities, where it's these small groups that are on fire with the faith, spreading the faith, versus this huge institution of the church making its way through history. Obviously, that institution of the church continues its way through history, but it's in a different maybe a different format than what it's looked like over the last millennia and a half, we'll say. So I think what is resonating with so many people in the church is this idea that we have moved almost as a whole consciousness of the world from what he terms a Christendom outlook, which is almost those unlooked at assumptions in our minds about the way things are. So which for a Christian in the depth would be there is this great war between heaven and earth, or between heaven and hell rather, you know, this great supernatural outlook. There's the angels and the saints that are involved with this. There's the church militant on its battlefield. And so this judgment that is coming and that heaven and hell await. So like this has formed at least the Western vision for over a millennia, you know, so it's this sense of that's kind of all. He gives an image somewhere in the book about like it's that foundation's been washed out. Like, you know, the structure's still standing in many places, but a lot of that's been washed out. And he points to some of the churches that have collapsed like that, like in Ireland or Quebec and places like that, where it's all, people will say, like, how did this happen? And he says, well, because that had already been washed out earlier, and then now it's like this collapse. So he doesn't leave us with the collapse of the church. He leaves us with, how do we pivot now to this new reality? So that's really, I think, what's been so captivating, is it gives some concrete things, but it really opens up for, now's the time for the church to be looking at, how do we concretely address that we are in a new a new era? And, you know, Pope Francis has said, in fact, he begins this book with the quote of Pope Francis saying, ours is not an age of change, but a change of the ages. You know, ours is not an age of change, but the change of the ages, like this huge change in the culture. So I think this book is where we get a vision of what is, what was, and one possibility of what is to come for the church.
Excellent. The this sort of epoch change, I think in another speech, I think to the Curia, Pope Francis described this as a change in an epoch, and like we're really moving into a new point of human history. And I think one of the things that strikes me is, when we look at this change, we might say that the church is collapsing. All these demographic crashes, collapse, the instability of various institutions within the church. We've seen, he talks about Quebec, Ireland, Spain, a couple other different places where the faith just kind of collapsed in some sense, in a demographic sense, or at least attendance and practice and all these kind of things. But what really struck me reading this is it's not really the church that has collapsed. It's that the church's relationship with the culture has changed. And that's the hope that we have as Christians is, the church really has not collapsed. It's just our relationship as Christians with the culture has changed. The culture has changed. They talk about, such and such political party, I didn't change. It's that political party changed. In that sense, it's that the culture has really changed and collapsed, and that the church now needs to deal with this new reality in a new kind of way.
Yeah, exactly.
So he sets up first of all, there's this sort of basic approach that he talks about. It's called a kind of a cultural vision or imaginative vision. So that within every kind of human culture, there's sort of we might use this philosophical term worldview that kind of stitches it all together, that it's built on. kind of the way in which we can see ourselves and imagine ourselves and how we kind of look at institutions like family and marriage and community and the civil order and all these kind of things. Could you maybe expound a little bit on what this sort of cultural imaginative thing, imagination is?
So I think probably a good way to do this is to use one of the examples he uses of the early preaching of the gospel. And so he looks at how Paul preached to the Athenians, how he preached to the pagans, and then Peter with the 3,000 Jews that converted in one day. And he talks about how they each had their distinct different worldview. And so that when the gospel was planted into that culture, the Jewish culture worldview was very close to the Christian, right? I mean, because Christianity is coming out of the culture of Jewish faith. So they have the mindset of one God who is overall, who they're spiritual beings. There's a supernatural realm. There is the moral commandments are, the morality is a very important piece of it. There's all these things so that when Peter preaches the gospel, like it makes sense to the Jewish people very quickly. It makes sense in the sense that it's clear to them and they make a choice. They either are really on fire for it or they hate it, right? Like, so because their worldview, they're able to receive this so well. He says versus like the Athenians whose culture is not formed in that same way. They have the idea of the gods and really they've become more like skeptics and atheists and more just kind of like mentally reason and stuff like that. So their worldview is different. So when they receive it, they're kind of very hesitant. We'll hear yet another time. You know, it's kind of like there's not this radical yes or no. And then he gives the example of the pagans who bow down and worship Paul, right? Because in their worldview, somebody who would show up like the way that Paul does, it matches all these things of a God who has these powers. And so in their worldview, when they receive the gospel, the way it's presented with this healing that Paul is able to do, they're ready to bow down. So those different worldviews have a very big effect about how they receive the gospel. And so then its point is Christendom culture is different than the culture we now live in and how the gospel is entering it.
And in the book, he's going to set up these two different kind of really cultural imaginations. The first is this Christendom one, and then the second is this sort of apostolic imagination. And we're going to talk about each of those in subsequent times together. But as we come to the end of our time, I just want to thank you, Father Hahn, for joining us.
Happy to be here.
You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. Until next time, peace and all good.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.